Let us pray. Give us grace, O Lord, to answer readily the call of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and to proclaim to all people the good news of his salvation, that we in the whole world may perceive the glory of his marvelous works, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Father came home from a very rugged day at work, and he said to his wife, I've had a bad day. Please, if you have any bad news, keep it to yourself. To which she replied, okay, no bad news. Now for the good news. Remember our four children. Well, three of them didn't break an arm today. In a world where bad news bombards us multiple times a day, we long to hear something good, don't we? Good news about the economy, check. Good news about a possible promotion, check. Good news about the kiddos at school or in sports, check. Good news regarding our health, double check. And when we receive good news, it's quite natural to want to share it, isn't it? You call someone on the phone. You write a letter or an email. You post it on social media. But the best news of all is the good news about Jesus. The good news about the gospel, and Christians are to share the best news of all. William Tyndale, the English scholar, said the gospel implied a good, merry, glad, and joyful tidings that maketh a man's heart glad and maketh him sing and dance and leap for joy. If that's true, and I most certainly think that it is true, then why do most Christians not go about sharing the joy of the gospel? Why do most Christians not share the greatest news of all? There's a couple of reasons for this, I believe. We'll hit on them all today. But the big one, I think, is that most Christians don't understand what God is up to, how very big it is, and that God has called them to participate in this great magnum opus of love and life. It is a magnum opus that he's been composing for such a long time. And it's beautiful, and it's hopeful, and it's uplifting. God chose one man, Abraham, to bring blessing to the world. And from this one man would come one people that were to be the light of the world. And from this one people, Israel, comes one man, the promised son, Jesus, fulfilling the promises to Abraham. And from this promised son, Jesus, comes forth one people from all the nations of the earth. So you see, from Genesis to Revelation, if we take a step back and we see what God is doing and what will be accomplished, it's astonishing. It's astounding. God's intentions have been for his good news of salvation to go to the world. He's always had the world in mind. You see, he has a heart for the nations. And this is why his passion and his mission is worldwide in scope. And therefore, he calls his one holy Catholic and apostolic church to go to the world as well. So this morning, then, let us hear the music of the Lord. Let us fathom the vast work he's been involved in to reach the nations. So if you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now, what are we talking about when we speak of blessings? In our culture, it usually has something to do with material possessions, doesn't it? Greg Ebbe shares a story about a little boy spending the night with his grandparents. Kneeling beside his bed, he softly said his prayers. Dear God, please bless Mummy and Daddy and all the family. Thank you for letting me stay with Grandma and Grandpa tonight. Bless them and give us all a good night's sleep. But then suddenly he looked up and he shouted, and dear God, please don't forget to give me a bicycle for my birthday. There is no need to shout like that, said his grandmother. God isn't deaf. No, said the little boy, but Grandpa is. And I wanted to be sure that he heard me too. If people tend to have success, we say that they are blessed. Or if we want to give something away as a gift, we say we've blessed someone. When we ask God to bless family and friends, it's usually implying that we're praying for their health. But But the blessings God wants to pour out through Abraham and his offspring are for the nations, the entire world. And they are blessings far greater than material riches or fame or physical well-being. They are the blessings of covenant relationship and kingdom responsibility. Covenant of being brought into relationship with God Almighty, of being his possession, his chosen people, his elect. But chosen and elect for what? Not so that people can claim some sort of special status and pat themselves on the back saying, hey, look at us. Aren't we something? Aren't we grand? But chosen and elect by God for the nations, for the world, for the sake of others. Now the Lord called out to Abram. The word of God, you see, comes to a pagan. You see, Abraham is not Jewish. The Jewish people don't even exist yet. But the word that spoke creation into existence out of nothing calls out to one man. Leave everything for the place that I will show you. Leave your relatives, leave your household, leave your very land, everything that is familiar for what I have for you. And here we see the connection between faith and obedience. St. Augustine notes, the right thing to do, brothers and sisters, is to believe God before he pays up anything. Because just as he cannot possibly lie, so he cannot deceive, for he is God. We are called to walk by faith and not by sight. Abraham is not given the details of everything, but he demonstrates powerful faith in the God who calls out to him. Abraham believed, and therefore he obeyed. And this obedience brings about great blessing. Abraham himself would be blessed. I will make your name great. I will make your name great. In the ancient Near East, to have a great name was not just some sort of title. It was something that revealed someone's character. In this case, Abraham will be known for his excellent character. The nation that came to be from him would be blessed. I will make you into a great nation. This guy that didn't have any kids, he will be made into a great nation, and the entire world would be blessed. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. How great is the blessing of God that is to go out to the world through Abraham and his descendants. The church father John Chrysostom comments, you will be blessed to such an extent that everyone will be anxious to thrust themselves into your company in preference to the highest honor. In other words, God blesses Abraham, and Abraham and his descendants will be blessing bearers to the world. They are the elect of God, chosen by God to be a blessing to the entire world. And in the fullness of time, a nation comes from this one man, Abraham. A nation that struggles with this high calling to be a blessing. They are to be the light of the world, drawing all peoples, all nations, all families to Yahweh. But as the story of the Old Testament unfolds, they become worse than the nations around them. It gets really, really bad. Oppression, annihilation, and exile. And then a small remnant returns to their land, but things will never, ever be the same again. But there was hope that the Messiah would come. Hope that God would come to the rescue of his people. And when Jesus comes onto the scene, he comes to save. Not by brute strength, but by great humility. You see, Jesus was the suffering servant of Isaiah. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance. Nothing to attract us to him. He was despised. He was rejected. A man of sorrows. Acquainted with the deepest grief. It was our weaknesses that he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. And the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. It was the Lord's good plan to crush him and to cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. And this is key, my friends. The righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous. Jesus is the chosen and elect of God. And this chosen and elect one will have numerous descendants. How numerous? As many as the stars in the heavens or the grains of sand on the seashore. A great multitude of descendants from all across the world. So this, of course, brings us to our gospel passage this morning. The chosen and elect one commissions a chosen and elect people to bless the world. They are who they are by union with him, who himself is chosen and elect. And the commission of God's people is given on a mountain. And this is key in Matthew's gospel. For in his gospel, mountains are places of revelation. They are places of communion with the Lord. We've got the Mount of Beatitudes, where Jesus gives the lifestyle of the kingdom for his people. We've got the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus' glory is revealed, something we'll look at next week. And we've got the Mount of the Great Commission, where Jesus outlines worldwide mission, how his people will bless the entire earth. And the disciples are not just anywhere, my friends, when this commission is given. They are in Galilee. And this is important, not just because it's their home, but it's Galilee of the Gentiles. Galilee of the Gentiles, where this commission is given. The gospel message of Jesus must go to the world. The commission will indeed bless the world, but the commission begins with worship of the risen Christ. And this is striking. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. When we read this in our English translations, we understand the word doubted here as unbelief. It's not really like that, though. It's more like a hesitation. Some of them hesitated. You see, there were some disciples who just jumped in and worshiped Jesus. Others didn't know how to respond. But we see here that the mission flows out of worship. And we pray this every Sunday at the end of our worship, do we not? And now, Father, send us out into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To go to the world begins in the context of worship. Therefore, let us not give up meeting together. Then Jesus speaks, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." Now, what does it mean to have all authority and power? It means that he not only has the badge, he has the gun to go with it. David Dyke shares a story about a government employee that had authority but no power. He was taking geological readings for the Department of the Interior, and so he approached a farmer and said, "I've been authorized by the government to go into your pasture to take some readings. Do you mind if I do that?" The farmer replied, "You can't go in my pasture." The government employee got a little perturbed by this, and he brought out a piece of paper signed by the Secretary of the Interior that gave him the authority to take his readings anywhere he chose. He showed it to the farmer and said, "There, see? I have the authority to go into your pasture." As the government man started climbing over the fence, the farmer once more stated, "I'll tell you again, you better not go into my pasture." And in the middle of the pasture, the man set up his equipment. Then the ground began to shake. He looked up and he saw a mean old bull running right toward him with its head lowered. The government employee immediately forgot about his equipment and he started running as fast as he could toward the fence. He cried out to the farmer, "Help me." And the farmer retorted, "Show him your papers then." My friends, Jesus has all authority and all power. He's got the badge and the gun. To have all authority and power in heaven and on earth is to say that Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. Go to the world. And in the Greek, here it translates better, "as you are going." Although going is essential, we have to go. The focus, though, is on making disciples. We are to learn the nations to Jesus. As you are going, learn the nations to Jesus. So what does this commission imply for us? It does require us to go, but not everyone will leave their homelands. Not everyone will leave their own state. Not everyone will even leave their own city. Oftentimes the go is just crossing the street. Do you have legs? Can you walk? Good. Sometimes it's just walking across a room. But this discipleship will require an expression of evangelism that nourishes and walks alongside people even after they come to faith in Jesus. Meaning you don't just drop them and go out for someone else. You learn them to Jesus. New disciples must be baptized in the name of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they must obey. God wants his elect people, his chosen people, who are in Christ the chosen one, to obey all the commands given by Christ Jesus. And this also means to go to all the nations, to go to the world. And this people of disciple makers have the promise and the assurance of Emmanuel, God with us, now until the end of the age and forever. So what can we take away from what we've learned today? One, don't hesitate to worship. Don't hesitate to worship. Mission flows out of worship if the average participation in the U.S. is 3 times out of 8 weeks. You can see why we have a discipleship crisis in our country. And you know, today is Super Bowl Sunday. Trust me that there are many folks all across our great land that stayed home today instead of worshiping the Lord. You see, they hesitated. Such is the power and pull of the cultural liturgies out in our society. We are not to hesitate, however. We are to give God the praise that he deserves. Amen? 2, we are to step out from what is comfortable. But what if I'm rejected, Scott? What if I look stupid? Remember, my friends, that you and I are mere ambassadors of the kingdom. We bear the message of the king. When people reject the message, they're not rejecting us, but rather the one we represent, the one who sent us. It's not about us. It never has been. It's about him. And if you're worried about looking stupid, don't worry. If you profess Christ, the world already thinks you're an imbecile anyway. Better to fear God than man, no? Better to be a fool for Christ, amen? And if you're still afraid, remember this. As ambassadors for Christ, you've been given authority and power. And you represent the one with all authority and power. The one with the badge and the one with the gun. 3, true faith looks like radical obedience. Say this again. True faith looks like radical obedience. Abraham left everything because God called him to be a blessing. The apostles left everything to follow Jesus, the Word made flesh. And the Great Commission is to baptize and to teach people to obey Jesus, to instruct them to live by faith and not by sight, to go to the world and to bring the blessing of the gospel message, the good news concerning Jesus. How's your obedience been lately? 4, and finally, God is with us. Jesus is present with us now by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. How encouraging! How glorious! Jesus promises that he will be with us as we go to the world. This task is his work that we get to participate in. And we have not been abandoned, and we never will. So my brothers and sisters, the elect of God have always been for the peoples and the families of the world. And we see this from Genesis to Revelation. And in Revelation, we see the fruition of all the toil, all the labor, all the work. God's elect from all across the globe. The gospel has gone out to the four corners of the earth. And God's people, God's family, consists of people from every nation, race, tribe, and tongue. So the magnum opus will be complete. The promises to Abraham are fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And this people that has blessed the world are truly Abraham's descendants. As numerous as the stars and the heavens, the gospel, my friends, is the greatest news of all. How will people hear unless we go to the world? Let us pray. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Father, give us boldness to proclaim the gospel. Father, give us a passion to be disciple makers. Father, may we walk by faith and radical obedience. In Jesus' name, amen.